Just thinking about that scripture that you mentioned, you know, that Jesus is the first, actually, of many. First of many to die, actually. And that talks about us. It talks about us that we are actually today celebrating the death and resurrection of Christ. But in that, he died so that actually we could die and we could be resurrected. That's why he came. That's why he came to rescue us. And I thought it would be great just to look at that. And because we're celebrating Jesus and what he's done for us, actually. And that death and resurrection, if we don't understand that, or it's just something out there, the death and resurrection of Christ affect our lives every moment of every day. And, in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, Paul writes and he's charging the Corinthians about just, you know, about that there were so many witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Did you know that there were over 500 witnesses of his resurrection? And it's like these are the facts that we know that he was resurrected. And it says he was, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, it says, I pass on to you what is most important, Paul's writing, and what has also been passed on to me. Jesus died for our sins. Just as the scripture said, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture says. He was seen by Peter, then the 12. After that, he was seen by many more than 500 of his followers. At one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by the apostles. And last of all, as though I've been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. And so Paul is confirming just the witnesses and all those that had seen Jesus being resurrected from the dead. We serve a God that is not dead but alive. He is the risen Christ. He's not just the Christ or not just Jesus. He is risen. And so that's what we celebrate today. And unless we do that, everything about living for Christ, about what we do, is useless if we don't understand the resurrection. And you know, the Lord is amazing in that he calls actually each one of us into relationship with him. You know, and he not only calls us into relationship, but he gives us new life. Have you experienced the new life of God in your life? Is there something about your life being resurrected in Christ? Do you experience something of the death of Christ in your life? And it might sound like jargon to you, so we're going to go into it a bit. But you know, this is Jesus. There are endless treasures in the Lord Jesus. And he is our great treasure. This is sort of something that we've been doing over the few weeks about Jesus, our great treasure. And there is so much in Jesus. There is so much that we can't actually explore. I'm going to be looking at just five areas that really, it's five experiences of us experiencing just the death and resurrection, that we can identify with the death and resurrection of Christ in our own lives. So, you know, you might say, well, you know, you read these scriptures, there's something like, what comes out? I'm going to read about four scriptures, and I want to just, if those of you who read scripture a lot, these scriptures will jump out, and I want to just read it. Philippians 3, verse 10. Paul writes and it says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I may experience the resurrection from the dead. And my question is, are we experiencing the resurrection of the Lord in our own lives? We're celebrating the resurrection. But are we experiencing the resurrection of the Lord in our own lives. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." You say, well, united with Christ. How am I united with Christ? You are united with Christ the moment you accept the Lord Jesus into your life. You are united with him. And you become one with him. You become, this is the amazing, what the Lord has done. He's taken on our sin. He's taken on our sin and he's died on our behalf. But it wasn't just to free us from sin. It was to unite us with him. And, you say, well, okay, what does that look like? How do we experience this union with Christ in his death and his resurrection? And Galatians, it says over here, my old self has been crucified in Galatians 2 verse 20. Are you with me there, Caleb? Okay, good thing. Because I gave the guys a whole lot of scriptures, and I said I might bounce between them. So, short. I hope you manage further tonight. Okay, Galatians 2 verse 20. It says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God. And so there's one aspect of understanding how we've been crucified with Christ is that I no longer live. Have I been crucified with Christ? Is there something in me that I no longer live? And what I do in life, how I live, it says over here, I live in this earthly body trusting the Son of God. That's for everything. That's for our finances. That's for just life, for relationships, trusting him in all those things. And I'm trusting the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. And in Romans 8 verse 10 it says, and Christ lives in you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And it says, and just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. And so there's actually, because he's died, he's actually given us life, an abundant life. And it's the same power that created that life, the Holy Spirit, that lives in us. And so there's five experiences I want to touch on just quickly, just so that we can get a picture of actually what does that life look like, that life that dies in Christ and is resurrected in Christ. And so the first thing, we share, the first point is we share in Christ's indestructible life. There's a confidence in the hope of eternity in us. When we accept the Lord, there's this confidence that he gives us for eternity. And John 11 verse 25 says, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. You know, and there's many believers that have died at the hands, mercilessly, at the hands of those that persecute them, hung them, burnt them, done all these things, and there was something in them that held them, that held them to follow on and follow Jesus till the end, because they knew it wasn't the end. They were living in that place of understanding that they have been given an indestructible life. And that's what we've been given. We've been given an indestructible life. We might lose this body, we might be persecuted, but there's something of a hope in us for eternity that the Lord gives us. 1 Peter 3 verse says, all praise to God, 1 Peter 1 verse 3 to 5, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and now we live with great expectation. Do you live with great expectation? That you're not just living for today, and for, but there's a living with the expectation of seeing Him, but also there's a joy and a confidence now that we can have in the Lord, that actually we live with this great expectation of things to come. This is the part of the gift of as we have died in Christ, this is part of the living in Christ that we can experience. We share in this indestructible life. Then the second one is we receive a new identity in Christ. And we have an unshakable identity. You know, the world might not necessarily see the change in you. You know, you might be exactly the same. You know, it might be the same Richard that they recognize. But there's something about a new identity. And what is that new identity that the Lord gives us? It's been called a child of God. And it sounds so out of this planet, actually, because it is. We are called into relationship with God, and we are called sons of God. And so, in Colossians 3 verse 1 to 4, you know, we think about the absolute glory of Jesus. When He comes again, He's gonna come, and all will see Him, and all will bow. But did you know that there'll also be an awe of our lives, those that are the sons of God? And we see this in Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, since you've been raised to this new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Now, sometimes we are just so focused on our own lives, but we don't realize what is our identity. And it says, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life, it says your real life, is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, when He comes, it says, you will share in all His glory. Isn't that spectacular? That we will be sharing the Lord's glory. He's come to make us partakers with Him. He's calling you into relationship with Him. The third thing that we experience is we experience His constant help. It says we've been given the Holy Spirit, who is a present friend, helping us all the time, every moment of the day. You know, the Holy Spirit was only given in the Old Testament, came upon people for a fraction of a time, and they prophesied, and then the Holy Spirit left. But we've been given the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of the risen Christ. We've been given the Holy Spirit to be with us every moment of every day. Everything that we find difficult, every moment, every relationship, every challenge, we've got the Holy Spirit with us. We've got this constant help of the Holy Spirit with us. In John 14, verse 18, it says, and Jesus is reassuring his disciples and us before he was crucified. This is what he said. John 14, verse 18. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That sounds so confusing, huh? But it's the reality that we are to be in Christ and he's in to be in us. He's come to live and work through our lives and be with us, not leave us alone. Every moment of the day, be with us. Matthew 28, verse 20 says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you. This is Jesus speaking. I am with you always, even until the end of the age. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am with you. I am helping you. I am perfecting your faith all the way till when I come again. So that's us today. Jesus is saying that to us. This is why he's died. He's come to help us and shape us and make us more like him every day till when he comes. Number four, we receive power to live righteously. So we have this new power actually to defeat sin and walk in righteousness. I was having a chat to someone the other day, and the temptation is there, but there's a recognition and a powering to say no to that sin. Is that in your life? Do you experience that? That actually that's experiencing the power to live righteously. Romans 6 verse 4 said, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Not like in the future. It says now we can live new lives. Right now, we can live new lives in him. Romans 6, verse 13, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, it says. For you are dead, but now you have new life. Because you've got new life, you were dead to those things. So it says over there, it says, do not let any part of you become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Your eyes, your ears, what you watch, what you hear, what you touch, what you do, every part of your body, every part of your sexual organs, every part of you, let it be honoring to God because you've been given new life. You have this new life right now. Romans 7 verse 4 says, dear sisters and brothers, this is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. I am united with the one who was raised from the dead, Jesus Christ. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. This is what the Lord has done. And because we have been raised and we have died with the one who was raised from the dead, we can produce a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of good deeds, it says, to God. The fifth one, we are able to suffer well with Jesus. That's a tough one, eh? But that's the reality. As we follow Jesus, there's suffering. There's suffering involved in your workplace when you're making decisions about Jesus, about serving Jesus, and it's frowned upon. It's in Philippians 3, verse 10, it says, Paul writes and he says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. This is part of the mighty power of God working in our lives as we see these things, as we share in this indestructible life, as we receive this new identity and we live in that, as we experience his constant help, as we receive the power to live righteously, we experience his power in our lives, the resurrection power of the Lord in our lives. And it says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead, and I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. You know, there is such joy actually in that place of suffering. How can we experience a heartache? And I mean, I don't think we in our life really see much real suffering, persecution. There's certain battles that we face, but we're not seeing our children killed before our eyes. We're not seeing that type of persecution. But there is this suffering in our own lives to serve the purposes of the Lord, you know. Having those hard discussions, you know, when your wife points out something that you haven't, you're not doing correctly, or you're not showing Christ, there's a bit of a suffering as we listen to our wife or our husband and we say, I hear you. And I want to do what pleases the Lord, and I don't want to do what pleases myself. There's this allowing the Lord into those areas, making decisions that are kingdom-minded and not for just our benefit. You know, keeping our word when it hurts. Those things are actually, those are the sufferings of Christ in us. And so we can share in this indestructible life. And I want us to we're going to go into a time of breaking of bread, but as we remember actually what Jesus has done, we remember what he's done for us, and actually he's given us life, he's forgiven us, he's made a way by dying on the cross for us to have relationship with Jesus and the Father. He's called us into that place of relationship and made a way for us to have relationship with him. And so we can share in this indestructible life. We can share and receive this new identity in Christ. We can experience his help. We can receive power to live righteously, and we are able to suffer well with all of it. These are just five things that are, and there's so much more in Christ. That's not even the tip of the iceberg of what the Lord has done for us. But even as we're gonna break bread now, I'm going to break bread. But this is actually a call. The Lord is calling us into relationship with him. He didn't do this just to show his power and just, you know, die and we can, you know, share Easter eggs and all this stuff. He's come to give us real life. He's come to give us real relationship with him. And so I'm going to ask, you know, even as we break bread, you know, and obviously as we break bread, we don't want to, breaking bread is for those that know the Lord. So if you don't know the Lord, I want to say, this is your time to say, Lord, come in to my life. Let that resurrection power be in my life. Let me come and present my life to you. Give me my life to you so that actually you can do something with it.